So maybe it's just my imagination, but I feel like the Christmas decorations around town have really been taken up a notch this year. I haven't taken a scientific survey, but it just seems to me like the streets are a bit brighter with more colorful flashing lights. I've seen houses with laser shows projected on the whole front of the house. I think that instances of oversized inflatables are up. And the current defending champion, as far as my family is concerned, are the dancing penguins and associated neon light show on Buckingham Road, which is set to music that you tune into using an FM radio. We have a new tradition in our house of going for what our daughter Cora calls a dark walk in the early evening after the sun is down to go look for new lights and to take in all of these displays. This is what the prophet Isaiah said to his people who were suffering under the heart-wrenching sorrow of exile. Provide for those who mourn in Zion a garland instead of ashes. Give them oil of gladness in place of mourning and a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. A garland instead of ashes. Maybe it's my imagination, but it feels like in the past few weeks, things have gotten harder for a lot of us. It feels like a deeper despair has taken hold in many of us. I haven't taken a scientific survey, but it seems that moods are down and that what is most wearisome about this time is becoming almost unbearable. Notwithstanding some promising news about a vaccine, a second wave and the specter of more shutdowns is putting some of us over the edge. I have heard from so many of you over the past few weeks who are crying out from the depths of your souls, how long, how long? And I find my own spirit joining in that longing question. Here's what the prophet Isaiah said to his people who were suffering. Provide for those who mourn in Zion a garland instead of ashes. Give them oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, a garland instead of ashes. So I was wondering this week, are these two different people, two different types of people, garland people and ashes people? Are these two different groups of people, the giant inflatable reindeer people and the rest of us who are struggling? Do the dancing penguins and the flashing lights mark houses where everything is okay? I don't think so. I have to assume that behind most of the glittering lights and the wreaths and the bows, there are people who are having a hard time right now, each in their own way. People who are vulnerable to severe illness, people who have lost loved ones, parents who don't know how they're going to make it through another day of school, people who've lost work, people who are unsure how they're going to keep a roof over their head in the coming months. I think if the excesses of decoration this year show us anything, it is that these kind of displays of joyous extravagance are not just the things that we do to express the joy that we already feel. Sometimes they are the things that we do in an attempt to banish gloom and despair. Sometimes they are not expressions of the joy that we already feel, but an insistence on the possibility of joy. In an Advent devotional from his book, All I Really Want, Quinn Caldwell writes about the year that his father died, a few days before Christmas. I remember realizing on that Christmas when my dad was dying, he writes, that Christmas trees are not always an expression of serene joy. They are not the gilding on the lily of a perfect life. At least sometimes, Quinn says, at least sometimes Christmas trees are the only beautiful thing in the middle of a wasteland. And that year, when my father died, every little glass ball I put on that tree felt like an act of defiance. As I hung each ornament, it was like shouting, "Take that, misery. Bite me, cancer. Die, death." This is what the prophet Isaiah wrote to his people. Provide for those who mourn in Zion a garland instead of ashes. Give them oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. As many of us are living through a moment of unique challenge to our psyche and our spirits, we should know that there are also many for whom this kind of ever-present pain is nothing new. In the United States, Black culture can teach us something profound about the power of joy in the face of suffering. In 2015, author Cleaver Cruz started what he calls the Black Joy Project. It's a movement intended to help create space for expressions of the joy of Black people and a platform to show the world the joy of Blackness. Cruz says that Black joy is not about dismissing the reality of collective pain, but it is about holding the pain and injustices we experience along with the joy we experience. And it's about using that joy as a means to imagine and create a different world. Take the story of Tracy Michelle Lewis Giegertz, who recently recounted in a parenting column in the Washington Post a simple story, a simple moment dancing in the rain with her young daughter. She found herself back in the house moments later, balanced on that fine edge between uncontrollable laughter and weeping. Our dancing in the rain wasn't a denial of all of the storms that had moved in on Black people that week, she writes. It was a dare. It was a way to say, you can't steal our joy, to anyone who would deny our humanity. Provide for those who mourn in Zion a garland instead of ashes. Give them oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. Now, I want to be very clear. When it comes to understanding the ways that joy can help us banish despair, putting some extra lights up at Christmas doesn't even scratch the surface of the depth of wisdom of marginalized people and communities. But it is a very introductory expression of the same human truth. It flows from the same place within our human souls that knows that acting joyfully in the midst of suffering is never merely self-delusion or denial. It is not distraction. It's not pretending. It is a bold and audacious act of hope. And it is for us an act of faith. For even though in this Advent we are waiting, we know what's coming. We know a God whose grace alone is sufficient for every need, whose love alone is cause for joy to break forth in our hearts. So I want to encourage you to do something this week with joy. To do something this week with joy in your heart, even if you don't really feel like it. Put on a Christmas song and dance around your kitchen, or give your tackiest decoration the place of honor. Watch something that you know will make you laugh. It's not so that you can pretend that everything is okay, but it is our way of insisting that even when things are not okay, joy has a place in our lives and in our world. And nothing, nothing can take that away.